Also, just to remember, next Sunday is a big launch. Our story as a church in a 170 pages book describing some of the processes we've been through and some of the understanding we've come into as we've understood this wonderful subject of grace. And just to help you with your Christmas shopping, we're going to give you an opportunity next Sunday to buy three Christmas presents. I mean, where else can you get three Christmas presents for 300 Rand and then get one free? So next Sunday, we're going to be letting you have three. No, you can. It's okay. Thanks. Don't want to get too distracted this morning. But okay. Being humble. It is our story. We should celebrate it. Amen. But we, God willing, they're going to be here next Sunday, and you can take three and then one for yourself as some early Christmas presents. Or six and two for yourself if you're a slow reader. Okay. I'm so excited. I'm excited about what I felt in the worship this morning. I'm excited about a sense of God's kingdom being a reality in our midst. This was always God's purpose. Right from the beginning, it was His purpose when He created man to live on this planet. He said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue this planet. In other words, the King James says, have dominion. In other words, dominate. And He gave them a garden, maybe the size of a province, I don't know. That was just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful piece. I mean, I think lions still ate buck, but they didn't eat people. You know, the whole system worked beautifully. And man lived in this wonderful relationship with God in His presence. The symbolic language is the cool of the day where he would just be in God's loving embrace. And God's purpose was that man would populate the planet with families of communities of God lovers, loving each other, serving one another. We've heard it said before, there's enough resources on this earth currently for every person to have $1 million. So it's not a lack of resources, it's just all the greed and selfishness that's on the planet. But given a perfect world system, it would have been everyone would have lived in with all their needs met, discovering, inventing, growing, exploring planets, living as communities in love with God in a world full of order, joy. But the story didn't end there. Because there'd been a rebellion in heaven, and Lucifer, who was created very beautifully in charge of the hosts of heaven, found pride in his heart and wanted to be worshipped. He was excommunicated, along with a third of the angelic hosts, became fallen spirits, demonic spirits with Lucifer. And they targeted the planet that was the pearl of creation. You know, this planet is perfectly positioned to the sun, to the next solar system in the galaxy. To the whole of the cosmos holds together this beautiful planet that is in such perfect tension that scientists' minds are boggled. And God had created man with a free will to partake of the life of God and live forever. God had created him in His image and had called him to man to live in trust and faith in what He said to them. God would determine what was right and what was wrong, not man. Man wanted to determine what is good and what is evil. Do good, don't do evil. And Satan came to man and said, well, to woman actually. Sorry about that. The man blamed the woman, the woman blamed the snake never had a leg to stand on. That's a bit old now. But what was the big deal with this partaking of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil? Well, it was man wanting to become something he was already. He was created in the image of God, and the temptation of Satan was, once you partake, you'll become like God. That was part of it. The other part was, man would then become in the position of the judge of good and evil, which wasn't God's intention. God's intention was that man would live trusting what God said. You know, that was God's modus operandi. God's operating system for the planet was faith. Was to live in faith in God's word. And the moment man put their faith rather in what Lucifer had said and came into agreement with him, because obedience, actions always follow what we believe. And the moment they believed that word, that they would become, they no longer believed what God had said about them. The moment that happened, they died. They died because they were then cut off from that life of God. The whole purpose of God was for His kingdom to rule this planet. But the story didn't end there. So God makes a covenant with Adam. And I was just meditating on that scripture. It says, because God brought those bloody skinned of those animals and clothed man. Because man had recognized he was naked. And it's such powerful language that, because religion always tries to cover itself. Religion always makes you feel guilty to hide. And God took the initiative by saying, I'm going to make a covenant whereby one day I'm going to come and shed my blood. But this is the beginning of a covenant I'm going to make with you. And I thought about that Larry the Lamb that got its neck cut for them to be covered. Little Larry the Lamb. Sorry, it's right over some people's heads. I mean, just get the picture with me. Up until now, they'd been friends with all the animals. They were naming them. They didn't mean they were just going around writing names. They were investigating, discovering. They're like National Geographic, like to the thousandth power of, you know. And they had minds that could retain all this knowledge, and they had a lifetime to live, to get through it. And it was so exciting and such a wonderful adventure. The lambs and the doggies and the kittens and the sheepies and the cow, they were like friends. Larry the Lamb. And I just stopped and looked, because I've often read that scripture that, you know, that they slaughtered, and I just, you know, cold-hearted. But up until that point, they hadn't seen blood squirting out the neck of an animal. And God had to demonstrate the seriousness of sin and of rebellion and of coming into agreement with Satan, because whenever we agree with him, we empower him. Man lost his nature subduing authority. He lost the title deed to the planet. His nature became corrupt of his father. As the scripture says, you become servants of the one you obey, either unto righteousness or unto death. And because of their coming into agreement with Satan's lie, they were cut off from life, they received a fallen nature, and they lost their dominion over the planet. And God had to show them how serious this was, that an animal they maybe knew, but it was more than just a cold act on the side. It was something that must have shocked them to see an animal being killed. Very much like a vegetarian would feel about a steak slept, especially if it's medium rare. Okay, moving along. So the God then starts the sequence of covenants through the Bible, and he raises up this nation of, you know, Abraham was a man of faith. Moses was a man of faith. David was a man of faith. And there was this nation through which he was going to bring faith, because God made a promise that Satan would be crushed, that the head of Lucifer would be destroyed, even though sin would have a poisonous effect on people. He will bite your heel, but you will crush his head. That ultimately Jesus Christ would come as the Lamb of God to fulfill all the covenant language of the whole Old Testament. Jesus comes on the scene, lives a perfect life for 30 years. Now, you don't hear much about him during that time. Because he's just living the life that you and I had to live. One big difference. No sin. He wasn't born in the sin lineage. He never had a sinful nature. But he also chose not to sin. He then comes into his ministry at about 30 years old. And the Bible says the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. And there he's tempted. I mean, I think we would get really shocked if we had to come face to face with that kind of demonic attack. And unlike the first man who came into agreement with the enemy's lies, Jesus says, when Satan came and said, if you're the Son of God, first of all, Jesus knew he was the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, it is written. He stood on agreement with what God said. Now remember, Jesus is a man just like you and me, gets hungry, gets tired, has to live by faith. I say that because a lot of us have got a picture that Jesus was like, you know, floating above the ground and he had a magic wand and he was just like... No, no. If Jesus from that time was dressed like us today sitting in this meeting, you probably wouldn't notice him. He had to live by agreement with his God's word, he had to live by faith, and he had to live a sinless life, and he had to live in dependence on the Holy Spirit. So Satan then comes. Satan knew what Jesus was here for. Because in first man, the dominion had been lost, authority had been lost, and he said to Jesus, everything, all the kingdoms of this world belong to me. You just got to bow down and worship. Like his first son in heaven, when Lucifer wanted to be worshipped. If you do that, I will give it all to you. So he had it, but Jesus never took a shortcut to get it. Jesus says, it is written. He stepped. He still remained in obedience and agreement to what God had said. You see, when we think of obedience, we think of doing a whole lot of right things to please God. Now, the only thing that pleases God is faith. Because faith produces obedience. If fallen man had believed God's word, they would have never partaken of the forbidden fruit. Your behavior follows what you believe. Jesus stood firm on what he believed. Therefore, it wasn't even an issue for him. The only advantage Jesus had over a man of his day was that he was sinless and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The very two things that happen to you when you're born again. Sin is removed. Sin is dealt with. Sin is not an issue anymore. And you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was living, Bible says, as he is in the world, so are we. Bible says that it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Bible's very clear about that. That Jesus wasn't just someone to imitate as a good moral example. Let me try and be like Jesus. No, I had to die at the cross so Jesus could step in my body and live the life I could never live. In your spirit, you have the same spirit that was living in Jesus when he was on earth. The same spirit that raised him up is dwelling in us. Now, Jesus came to establish his kingdom. So he said to his disciples, I'm going to get the keys back, I'm going to give them to you, and then you got to keep on proclaiming my kingdom. What is his kingdom? It's his rule over the planet. It was in the garden, it got lost. Now it's where? In his church, in his body, on earth. That same kingdom authority needs to be exercised over the planet. So he says, I'm going to get the keys back, and then before he departs to heaven, he says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore you go. So he empowered them with the same mission that first man had had. And that's why we call it the co-mission, the Great Commission. The Great Commission is living out God's establishing of his kingdom that was always his perfect plan, even right from the beginning. And Jesus came to demonstrate it as a man living in right relationship. Acts 10:38. For this purpose, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were under the devil's power. Because the world is under Satan's blindness. He's the God of this world. And the God of the world has blinded people. And it's this gospel that brings people through this, use the word portal. I know for some people it's a scary word because it kind of brings to memory science fiction and all the movies. In the Old Testament they called it a ladder. So if you want to call it a ladder, you want to call it a doorway, you want to call it a portal. What brings people through this is when they hear the gospel and they're born again. They come under a new kingdom. They come into a new kingdom. And they don't come into that kingdom so they can sit and sing Blessed Assurance until Jesus comes. They come into that kingdom. Jesus said, the things I've been doing, you must do, and even greater things. And you are to enforce my victory on earth by living kingdom lives. Now, what is a kingdom life? Because kingdoms is a big, big subject, big topic. I love it. It's central to what Jesus taught. The kingdom of God. But if I could sum it up and just simply say it, the kingdom principles are summed up in God said it, I'm in agreement with what God says. That's faith. And then I declare it, that's the prayer of faith. That is how the kingdom operates. So God's word says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. I come into agreement. Even when circumstances look like it's getting close to the edge, you go, God said it. I'm going to be in agreement with what God said, and I'm going to declare it. What is that? That is the prayer of faith. In James it says, effective is the prayer of a righteous man. What are you? Righteous. If you're born again, and you've stepped through that doorway out of the kingdom of darkness, out of fallenness, into the new kingdom, your sinful nature has left behind on that side of the door, nailed to the cross, together with all the commands that made you feel guilty and condemned and shamed. In Him, it was nailed to the cross. He was made a public spectacle. You've come through in righteousness. Now your prayers are effective and powerful. And we are called to enforce Christ's victory on earth wherever we go. That is how simple the kingdom life is about. We're going to run through some scriptures this morning. You've got your Bible with you. That was my introduction. You got your Bible. Tell the person next to you, now you're going to see it in the Bible. Now you're going to see it in the Bible. Read fast, because I'm going to speak fast. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in His own image. Verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Enemy came. Did God really say, you must not eat from the tree in the garden? Verse 4, you will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman. 3, verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God. 3 verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you. And verse 15. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. Romans 6:16 says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one who you obey, whether you slaves, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. Back to Genesis. 3:21. And the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Matthew 4:3, and Jesus in the wilderness, the tempter came to him and said, if you the Son of God, he attacked his identity. That's how Satan will always attack you, is your identity. If you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know your identity, that's where you will be attacked. I tell you what, when you come to understand your identity, you'll read the Bible differently. When you understand your identity, you will worship differently. When you understand your identity, your whole life will be different. Because when we don't get that right, we read the Bible, it's a ministry of death and condemnation. We go to church. I spoke to someone yesterday who's not at church today because he doesn't feel good enough. I said, what church have you been going to? If we don't get this thing right, Jesus knew. You know why he knew? Because just before this, he heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You need to hear that spoken over your life. If you are born again and you've stepped out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, you need to hear those words being spoken over your life. Verse 8 of chapter 4. So the devil took him away to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give to you, he said, if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus is referring to Satan. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. 1 John 5:19. For we know that we are children of God, and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. 1 John 3:8. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason, say the reason, the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's works. Satan is very alive and well on planet Earth. Still with the power of deception. Still blinding minds and eyes to the gospel. Giving a form of religion. He's happy with people getting religion. Religion's cool. Religion is the knowledge of good and evil. Religion is self-righteousness. Religion is I'll cover myself so I can be presentable to God and not feel naked. And he's looking for someone to devour. Bible says Jesus came to destroy his works. Therefore, Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Back to 1 John 4. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Verse 17. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority. Say all authority. in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And in verse 19 of chapter 16, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And chapter 16, verse 19, after this, the Lord had spoken to them. He was taken up into heaven, sat at the right hand side of God. Then the disciples went out, preached everywhere. The Lord worked with them and confirmed his words by signs accompanying him. And at the end of the wonderful book of Romans, where Paul sets out to explain this whole gospel message, he says in verse 20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Woo! Glory! That's why Jesus came. That's why last Adam came to establish the Father's kingdom. That's why he said, all you've got to do is change the way you're thinking now. You've got to be born again. You've got to change the way you think, because you can step into this kingdom. And when you're in this kingdom, there's righteousness, peace and joy, and there's power. And whatever you bind on earth, whatever you release on earth, has already been bound in heaven, has already been released on earth. We can't bind on earth what hasn't been bound in heaven. And we can't release on earth what hasn't been released in heaven. If you meet a beautiful girl and she's married to someone else, you can't release her into your life. She's not released in heaven. If sickness is released in heaven, then we are bound in heaven. Is there any Hong Kong flu in heaven? No. So we don't have to accept it on earth, what isn't allowed in heaven. So that's a simple test. What isn't allowed in heaven, I'm not going to let it be allowed on earth. And whatever is allowed in heaven, I'm going to come into agreement. And through the power of agreement, that's the prayer of faith. I'm going to declare on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we should be praying. That's what we should be praying. You see, church is a lot more than 3 points and a home, and 3 points and a go home, 3 points and a poem and then go home, 3 points and 4 hymns and then... Man, we should be the most expectant people on the planet. We should be saying, as long as I'm walking as Jesus did in the same righteousness that he had, mine's a gift though, his was his own. As long as I'm clothed in his righteousness and have the same spirit living in me that lived in Jesus, that the word of God says, in this world I am like him, whatever I say you're not allowed, if it's not allowed in heaven, that's settled. If there's an addiction in my life on earth and that addiction's not allowed in heaven, I'm telling you, addiction, you're not allowed in my life. I'm in agreement with heaven. And when the devil comes and says, well, you're just always going to be like that. You're just going to always be like your great-grandfather. You know, he had a drinking problem. You're going to have a drinking problem. He had a gambling problem. His gambling problem isn't allowed to be in heaven. What's allowed in heaven is generosity. What's allowed in heaven is peace. What's allowed in heaven is great... I beg your pardon? Happy families in heaven. Heaven's full of happy families. So we can break the curse off. Whatever we've come out of doesn't mean that's what we've got to go into. I tell you what, whatever you've come out of can be broken off. You step through the doorway of the kingdom of God. You break off the influences, the strongholds, the bondages, the curses. The Bible says no curse formed against you will prosper. The Bible says Jesus took every curse of mine. You don't have to worry about your great-grandfather was a Freemason or your great-grandmother was a witch. I tell you what, all you got to do is get born again and you come out of the darkness. You come into the light. You come into freedom. You walk out the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Let's stand up together. We're going to do some spiritual warfare in this place this morning. I'm going to ask if the musicians can come up. And I finished a little earlier today because I wanted to do some prayer. Because how can you preach a message on authority and then not release it? Janet's got a word.
I had a word during worship and Stephen got up to preach, so I thought, okay, all right. But I really feel that the word that God gave me during worship now confirms what He actually wants to do. I saw people standing in this building, and it was almost like as if the top of their heads were lifted off. And as their heads were lifted off, I saw spirits leaving them. And I really felt that God was saying, this morning I'm going to set people free from addictions. It was so, so clear to me. And I just feel that, like, maybe the reason it wasn't brought before was because your eyes and your ears hadn't been opened. And I'm really trusting that right now angels are coming and unblock ears and eyes. And those that didn't understand this message would understand it. But I do. I want to pray for people that feel that they're battling with the spirit of addiction in any area.
Mm.
And because I really, really saw that. And I just want to pray.
But that's you now. If there's a spirit of addiction in your life, just lift up both your hands to the Lord.
Yeah.
And surrender. As Janet speaks the kingdom of God, she agrees on earth as it is in heaven over your life.
Father, I want to thank you that there is no addiction. No addiction to pornography, gambling, lust, cigarettes, alcohol, all those things, Lord. There is no addiction in heaven. We are brand new creations and righteous in you. And right now, Lord, even as I saw that vision, that heads were opened and spirits were leaving, I command every evil spirit of addiction to take its hand off of people in this building. You're a lying spirit. You will not manifest. You will not come. You will not live in these new creations any longer. We give you notice today, and I ask, Father, right now, for people that have been battling with addictions, for their mind to be made brand new and to come into alignment with the Word of God. I pray, Father, that as these evil spirits leave them, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, Spirit of God, that you'd come and fill them, that you'd fill every area, that there'd be no voids left, no voids left. I just speak fullness, fullness of God over every life in this building right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for a miracle in the lives of people that have been addicted for many years to many different substances, to many different, even I just saw somebody who's been living under, you were abused as a child and you're living under that lie, I'm not good enough, I'm not good enough. Even that lie is an addiction. It's an addiction to the past, and I just break it off right now in Jesus' name. I break off past lies of a people. You are a brand new creation in Christ. And I release that newness. I release it. I release wholeness. I release happiness. I release fulfillment in the presence of God as never before for those people right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for the ministry of angels right now. I thank you for the ministry of angels,
yes.
Spirits that are assigned to people to minister to those that are heirs of salvation. And I ask for the ministry of angels just to go and encamp about those people right now and to keep them in a place of freedom. I just bind lies from coming back into their minds in any way, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Just as we were worshiping earlier, just a thought came into my mind. I was pondering on my circumstances, and a thought came into my mind, and I kind of just felt sad about it. And then I felt like the Spirit said, "You're not going to believe that, are you?" And then He just showed me a picture of what just happened. And as I took that thought that came and believed it, and I kind of put it on myself, it was like a mud pack being put into my hand, and then I just put it on top of myself. And God said, "This is what's happening to my people. The lies come. We retake them and we put them on ourselves." And God's saying, "I don't want that to happen." As we do that, we cover up the glory that lives within inside of us. And then we live these lives that are heavy and hard, and we see everything in the darkness. And this glory that lives inside of us, as we believe in Jesus and we receive His life, we need to shine and radiate His life. But we've got to stop believing the lies. So we don't have to receive it. We need to look at this thing that's been put into our hand and weigh it up with what God says. And that's why it is so important to know who we are in Christ. To look at this mud pack and go, "That's not who I am. This is not what God wants for me. No, I won't receive it." And throw it down. Father, we just thank you. Father, I thank you for every person that has been told lies, that we will not receive it, that we'll shake it off. That we'll shake off every single lie that we've received, and we'll believe what you have said, Lord. We just thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love over us, Lord, in Jesus' name. I just felt that there's been many people that have been going through challenging circumstances in their lives. And this morning I felt like We need to use our mouths, our tongues, to speak life instead of speaking death. So instead of coming into agreement with the negative things around us, ask God to show you what His Word says about that and speak that. And as you speak that, you will see your physical situations change.